Hi, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local, and brought to you by Bank ESB.
Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and here is your host for this episode of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. We have a great show for you today. Before we get to it, though, let's have a message from this month's sponsor, Bank ESB.
Bank ESB is here for local business. As a local bank, we provide everything you need to thrive around here, including personalized guidance and business products, like free checking and cash management services. Unlock your potential and learn more at bankesb.com/business. Member FDIC DIF.
Okay, we are back on Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, editor of Business West Magazine. Our guest today is John Garvey. He is the president of Garvey Communication Associates. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, George. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
We're happy to have you with you on the show. A very timely issue. We wanted to talk about Facebook. We wanted to talk about social media. We wanted to talk about everything that's been going down on Capitol Hill recently. And I could think of no better person to talk about it than you.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You are a social media, what shall we say, expert, guru?
Tour guide.
Tour guide. Okay. However you want to phrase it. So it was a bad time for Facebook, a bad time for Mark Zuckerberg, a lot of intriguing stuff. Anytime we hear that word whistleblower now, we just add more and more layers of intrigue to it. We're hearing Facebook and social media being compared to big tobacco. It was a very interesting time. I want you to help dissect that news and talk about where we move, how we move forward from this and what we need to do. I guess the consensus for a lot of people is that social media needs to be, quote, fixed, unquote. And we're going to talk about that a lot. But I want your impressions first on what you were thinking as you were listening to this testimony from this whistleblower from Facebook and the things she was saying and what they mean for that company and social media in general.
Well, so meaningful, I'm going to get to a minute. What I thought, and it's a little bit of a different take. So what I thought of when I listened to her 60 Minutes interview and read some of the testimony or the accounts of the testimony, at least, was I don't mean to criticize her message. The means, I thought, was somewhat hyperbolic. And I say that, George, because of something that you brought up, is the comparison to big tobacco. And I want to just juxtapose, because to me it's a little bit of like when political figures use comparisons to the Holocaust, and I think it's just inappropriate, and it takes away and did the whistleblower a grand disservice in terms of what the points she was trying to make. When you think about big tobacco, that was an industry that for years was subsidized, protected by government, and in fact was built on the back of slavery, and it had continued on without interruption and impacting adversely the public health for decades, if not hundreds and hundreds of years. The comparison is not appropriate. And as I said, it kind of masks the rest of what's being discussed. And so what we were just kicking around is this the, you know, was this a the latest, or is this a difficult time for Facebook, or should we look even back farther? And just say Facebook has had its a relative rocky road since, you know, the Cambridge Analytica issues, if not before. And so that this is not, these type of questions or issues are not new to Facebook, nor are they new to social media. So that's the shocking thing about it to me, is there basically is not a whole lot of stuff that came out that's really new. Now you could say is, what about the data, all the trove of data that came out, as a result of the whistleblower, the things she copied or took with her when she left? And some of that is certainly shows troubling discussions at Facebook about the way their algorithm performs. So there's smoke there. There's probably fire. But I think the issues are a little bit different than what's being portrayed in Congress right now.
Where do we go with this? What are we to make of this? And again, I come back to that notion that somehow Facebook and social media need to be fixed. And the message from that whistleblower certainly was that government needs to fix it. Government needs to step in and do something, just like it did with big tobacco, just like it did with the automobile industry. This was the message. What did you think?
George, did government fix big tobacco, or did the, you know, a cascade and continual wave of lawsuits fix big tobacco? And I kind of, by saying it that way, I kind of argue that it was the legal intervention outside of government that had it the most stringent impact. But where does this all go? So what I would like to suggest, George, that the battle around Facebook was over before it started. And if you look at the past 5 days, and it's really hard to look at them in an isolation, but you know, just the latest of what's going on in the last 5 days, Wall Street Journal comes out, it's a little bit longer. Wall Street Journal comes out with the whistleblowers allegations in September. 60 Minutes comes out Sunday night. Then unbelievably, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp go down on Monday completely. Whistleblower testifies on Tuesday. And I'm hoping I got that chronology right.
I think you did, yes.
Yeah, thank you. So what's interesting about that is that the public weighed in on the use and efficacy and popularity of Facebook on Monday, when basically, you know, hyperbole, but the world stopped. We could not post pictures of our grandkids or what we're doing, you know, what we're eating, or cats riding Roombas. And, you know, WhatsApp is a big communication device that was down, and Instagram was down. So there was a huge disruption. That was a huge story. And a good indicator of popularity or the impact on markets is certainly the stock price, and the stock price declined. It was hurt. The next day, the whistleblower testifies. Now, you know, again, 60 Minutes hit on Sunday. The next, and so you could see maybe that fed into the stock decline. But the stock rebounds starts rebounding on Tuesday, and is largely climbing its way back up to its previous share position. You know, where it was when all this started. So the public, for lack of a better phrase, is a Facebook fan, uses Instagram, is not going away. This is a company that it's not too big to fail. It's too big to kill. It's just, you know, the numbers are astounding. I think they're well over 2 billion users. They're $1 trillion market value company. You know, the numbers are astounding. So it's going to be around. It's going to continue to be around. And the last thing you asked me to kind of delve into is, you know, is government the fix? And I don't think so, because government, you know, there is action right now to break up these companies. And it's going to be years and years and years and years before any of that plays out. Meanwhile, public pressure, questions, and perhaps even investor pressure, which would really lead to change, that's going to lead to incremental change on this platform and other platforms. And I think that's the way this thing begins to get resolved to some degree.
Okay, you're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. We're talking with John Garvey. He's the president of Garvey Communication Associates. We're talking about Facebook and social media, whistleblowers, and what went down last week. John, I'm sure you were being glib when you were talking earlier about Facebook and when it was down, people couldn't post pictures of their grandkids or cats on Roombas, but that's kind of like the take that a lot of people have on Facebook. It's an older person's medium now. This is for grandparents. It's harmless. Facebook is harmless. The whistleblower was basically sending a loud and clear message that, no, Facebook can be dangerous. The messages that are put up there, there's misinformation about vaccines. There's vitriol that is inciting actions in Washington on January 6th. There's bullying among teenagers. Facebook is not harmless, and Facebook is not innocent, and that we need to control what happens with Facebook and what people can do with it, and that government needs to step in and do something. So I guess the question I have again is, if government can control Facebook, does it need to be controlled, and who will control it?
George, that's a tough question in a capitalistic, you know, economy and democratic society. Is, you know, who's going to control this? It's a public company in that it has shares, and you may, by stepping into that realm, you may see where some of the, I'm going to call it, the most appropriate action is, if Facebook is covering up stuff, it's the SEC who may have the responsibility to the to clear that up from the perspective of shareholders. And of course, SEC is a governmental entity. It's not going to be Congress. There's a lot of hyperbole, and it would take a real long time. The threat of congressional action, the threat of politics, is going to make Facebook be concerned with these issues. But I want to go back to the issue of, is Facebook dangerous? And so to do that, I have to divide. I'm going to throw, because I can barely say it, the WhatsApp out the window, even though it's worldwide, it's a huge communication device. And I'm going to concentrate on Facebook, Instagram, and the allegations of the whistleblower. And I don't necessarily want to refute them, but I want to use some of the her analogies or her explanation, and she's a computer engineer and has experience in this company and Google, and so far her knowledge of how the algorithm works far exceeds mine. Her attempt at, or explanation of it, however, I think is slanted by her own words, because of the, or to the ends that her rationale was, or motivation was, one of her friends went over to the dark side of, I forget the exact term, but, you know, was co-opted by negative news, or changed her persona or whatever by this, all this news out there. And the whistleblower wants to prevent that from happening. Okay. So the way she explains the algorithm is, it serves us information based on our likes and behaviors, and what we say, or activities, what we say we're interested in. And I'd submit that every single platform does that. You know, so basically, when you engage with content, benevolently, the algorithm thinks that you're interested in that content, and right. It allegedly serves you more. Now, where it serves you more, I'm going to say, is a little bit up for discussion. Now, if you have, and you, it, within your realm, Facebook, Instagram, if you follow a lot of negative people, then you're going to get negative comments. If your circle of influence is a people of a certain persuasion, politically or otherwise, you're going to be fed that information, but you're being fed by them. And the algorithm thinks that you want to engage much more with your friends. Now, so where's the rest of it coming? Well, it's the advertising model, which serves, it sees, you know, so it, pardon the explanation, but in my case, I post about and follow Land Rover Defender 90s, mountain bikes, road bikes, and beer. So I get served a lot of outdoor ads. I get served a lot of bicycle ads, certainly. There's just a plethora of bicycle clothing companies. You know, I get served all that kind of content. Mm-hmm. Wow, the algorithm is working. And I also, they suggest that I follow other people who are similarly interested. I'm not thinking that's evil, George. I'm thinking that's actually why I'm on the platform. So I don't engage with negative, what we would characterize as negative or political behavior. So I don't see a lot of that, nor does it get served to me. And when I do see it, I can self-police. I can remove it, report, hide it, whatever I want to do. Again, I'm thinking that works. Now, I know the exceptions to all of what I just said, mm-hmm. that Facebook was played a role as a communication platform in, you know, genocidal activities, and I believe it was Miramar. If not, I apologize. And was, you know, groups were using it to organize for insurrection and other nefarious political activities. I get all that happens, and I do believe that the algorithm can be tweaked and moved as the whistleblower suggested it had been, and that she suggests it's been moved away to mitigate, or if not to suppress those kind of activities. But at the same time, someone's nefarious activity is someone else's free speech. You know, where do you draw the line? The other component of this is, you know, this is a company that we're suggesting, you know, their political types are suggesting that it needs to be torn apart. You know, I have problems with that right now, because mm-hmm. I don't see the rationale to be torn apart. When you say that, you know, the age dividing, sure, it's you, I, and our grandmothers who are on Facebook. Kids, younger people skew over to Instagram for sure. But George, they've left the platform. They're on TikTok. And right. You and I can't move fast enough nor change our wardrobes quick enough to be over on TikTok. So no one's got to worry about that. You know,
you look okay there. Your wardrobe would go okay on.
It's okay today, but I can't snap my fingers and change
this
it.
This tie would not.
I know how to do that.
Now, let's go back to another word that the whistleblower used that a lot of people have latched onto. And then she talked about all this being addictive and people not having the control to do what I think you and some others have suggested that they do. And that is if they find what they're reading disconcerting to them or not appealing to them and not what they want, they could just simply turn it off, that they can move away, that they can click off. The whistleblower was saying something different, that this is addictive and that people don't have the self-control to do that. What is your take on that?
So we're going to regulate them and ensure that adults have government mandated self-control. I mean, I don't get that. I understand what you're saying.
Well, you're going where I'm going at this, and there's a lot of things that are addictive out there. This isn't the only thing. Do we control everything that's addictive? Do we take all alcohol off the shelves?
Where do you draw the line? God
where
forbid.
Do you draw the line?
George,
right.
The iPhone was designed to be addictive. I can pretty much run my life from my iPhone. So do we start there? So no, literally from an adult perspective, if you're finding that you're not, and there are people who have legitimate gripes and complaints about the way these social media platforms operate. What about the rest of the people who use it either to fool around, joke with each other, stay in touch with people? There are some other positive to these platforms that, and including myself, the way I use it, I think I have a lot of fun with it. Now, do I think I'm on the social media too much? Yeah, probably. Do I occasionally over on Twitter post something, you know, that's abrasive from a political standpoint? Yup, been there, done that, trying to control it a little bit, because I think it's not a social media is not necessarily a dialogue medium. It's just people, you know, when they get angry, they spout off. But I'm trying to use the platforms to shape my world to get me the information I want and to literally cut out the other information. And there are controls built into that, as simple as hiding the form of content. The algorithm will get it if you start hiding certain forms of content that you feel you're being inappropriately served. Mm-hmm. So you can manage these platforms, but are they addictive? Sure. You know, we were all sitting home during the pandemic. You really couldn't interact with your friends. So probably we were all spending a little bit more time on social right. media platforms. But you know, in terms of the content and the vitriol and the way.
Well let me just say one more thing about that. It is, you say that it's addictive, and the whistleblower was also
I didn't say it was addictive.
Okay. Other people have said it was addictive, and to a certain extent, it probably is. But what the whistleblower was saying is that people are drawn to negative comments. They're drawn to controversy. They're drawn to anger. They're drawn to these types of things. And if we keep going down the road with this addictive aspect of this, this leads to some to believe that this is where the internet, social media, and specifically Facebook needs to be controlled. And that leads to my next question. Where do we go from here? What happens now?
Well, I really have to take issue with the last kind of statement, because I grew up in the public relations industry and the media industry, and the phrase, if it bleeds, it leads, transcends the internet. So media itself has always been.
Oh, no. Well point. Yeah.
And certain aspects of media have always been shaped around the sensational, and every digital media model and social media and search model is based on the types of premises we're talking about now. If you search and use Google, it's going to try and serve you more of what it thinks you're interested in. When you go to a media site, you're going to find, you know, you're not necessarily going to find, you know, the happiest stories of the day. You're going to find the most sensational stories of the day. And you can challenge that assumption by going to any media site right now and find the one, you know, about fall colors buried under all the other things that happened that are semi-horrific. So this is a really an old problem. But yeah, if you're looking to be angry, you can certainly find a lot of anger on the internet, no matter which platform. Controlling it, though, is a whole other issue, because it begins to suggest that it's just not only Facebook, it's other mediums as well. And are we going to go there?
I don't think we are.
So I want to bring up one other thing, though, that she talks about. And she talks about children and the impact that teenagers, in particular, female teenagers, young girls, that a negative impact about 13% of young girls, and again, pardon me if I don't get my statistics right, have negative connotations or negative perceptions of their body or whatever after using Instagram, and also do find it addictive. What the counter offer is, or the counter information from this data scientist, is never offered. That 77% of Instagram young female users said something else. What did that 77% say as opposed to the 13%? And I think that's an interesting counterbalance. Teenagers have their mental health issues, behavioral issues skyrocket in the teen years and early adulthood. Facebook and Instagram and other social media platforms may play a role in accentuating or magnifying some of those issues. I'm struggling with that they're causing it. The other thing was, Facebook was going to develop an Instagram for kids, which would potentially be a safer zone. It could have had that capacity. Yet all that's been put on hold because, you know, their lack of trust issues. You know, the public does not trust them anymore, or to the extent needed right now.
Okay. John, this was very good. I thank you for coming on. We're a little out of time right now. So eye-opening, informative, as always. This is definitely one to watch. And
for sure.
I hear that Mark Zuckerberg is looking for someone to help him with his PR. So I know you can help him with that. That's what you do for a living. Give him a call. Maybe you can make sure he's not out on his boat the next time the whistleblower is in front of Congress and people need to hear from him.
Well put.
All right. Thank you again. And we'll have you back on soon.
So, thank you, George.
All right. You've been listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. Happy to have you with us, and we'll see you next time.